Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, September 15th. Multiple cities are considering new policies aimed at protecting residents from immigration enforcement. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Tomorrow, the City of Carlsbad's Traffic Safety and Mobility Commission will hold a special meeting to decide whether they should prohibit e-bike use for children under 12. The Carlsbad City Council requested this meeting take place after the passing of Assembly Bill 2234, which allows cities within the county to establish a minimum age of 12 for e-bikes. Also taking place south of Carlsbad tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. is a Chula Vista community meeting. As we've previously reported, Chula Vista already approved an e-bike ordinance earlier this month and is now in their education phase of enforcement. The meeting will provide an overview of current state and local e-bike laws, highlighting what's changed and share details around enforcement, which starts December 3rd. California lawmakers have passed legislation banning most law enforcement from covering their faces while carrying out operations. Also known as the No Secret Police Act, Senate Bill 627 would prohibit local, state, and federal law enforcement officers from covering their faces. That's if it's signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom. It would also require officers to be identifiable by their uniform, but even if signed, it's unclear whether the state could enforce it on federal agents who have been carrying out raids. It includes exceptions for SWAT teams and medical-grade masks. The California Department of Food and Agriculture declared a citrus quarantine in northern San Diego County and part of Camp Pendleton late last week. State officials declared this quarantine after finding Wan Long Bing on a citrus tree in San Clemente. That's a bacterial disease that is fatal to citrus trees. The disease is not harmful to people or animals, but is deadly to citrus trees and a major threat to the county's $144 million per year citrus crop. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
In response to recent immigration arrests, elected officials from across the county are announcing a coordinated response. Reporter Gustavo Solis says multiple cities are now considering new policies aimed at protecting local residents from immigration enforcement.
During a Friday news conference, San Diego Councilman Sean Elo Rivera denounced federal immigration enforcement's operations, specifically criticizing masked agents arresting parents in front of their children, all without showing a federal warrant.
So today, we're here together to say enough.
Elo Rivera introduced a new ordinance that expands protections to immigrant communities in the city of San Diego.
We are making it clear that our city and our region will not be a stage for lawless enforcement.
If passed, the ordinance would prevent federal agents from entering non-public areas of municipal buildings without a federal warrant. It also requires that San Diego police officers document and report interactions with federal immigration agents. Elo Rivera hopes that other cities around San Diego pass similar ordinances.
This fight is much bigger than one city, and our response must be united, coordinated, and bold.
Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Former County Supervisor Nathan Fletcher delivered his first public remarks since a judge dismissed a sexual harassment lawsuit against him. Reporter Scott Rodd says that lawsuit had derailed his political career.
Metropolitan Transit System employee Gracia Figueroa accused Fletcher of sexual harassment and assault in a 2023 lawsuit. Fletcher was chair of the MTS board at the time. He then stepped down from the transit board, resigned from the County Board of Supervisors, and dropped his run for state senate. A judge dismissed the case in August after a contentious legal battle and chastised Figueroa for destroying evidence during discovery. Fletcher apologized to his wife at the press conference Friday, acknowledging his consensual affair with Figueroa.
You know, with this behind us, we have a weight that's been lifted to allow us to enjoy life, to look ahead.
Figueroa has said she stands by the allegations and plans to appeal. Fletcher emphasized he doesn't plan on returning to elected office.
I will look back on the 8 years I spent in San Diego in public office with a measure of pride that I fought as hard as I could to try and make San Diego a better place.
Fletcher is still pursuing a related complaint against Figueroa for defamation. Scott Rodd, KPBS News.
A San Diego Navy doctor finds herself under investigation after a right-wing activist shared details from her LinkedIn account with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says it's the latest example of intolerance for LGBTQ plus people from military leaders.
Commander Janelle Morrow was the commander of Expeditionary Medical Facility 150 Bravo in San Diego last week when the X account Libs of TikTok shared a screenshot of her LinkedIn profile. The account highlighted Mara's listed she-her pronouns and her bio, which said Mara was the Navy Deputy Medical Director for Transgender Healthcare. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth quote-tweeted the post saying, "Pronouns updated. She, her, fired." Colonel Bree Fram is retiring from the Space Force due to the new ban on trans service members. She knows Mara and says she was concerned because she'd also been targeted by libs of TikTok.
After those comments were published about me, I received all sorts of threats, of phone calls, voicemails. People found everything about me and left messages that I should kill myself, and all sorts of incredibly unpleasant hate about me and my family.
A Navy official says Mara is under investigation for her social media use, and although she's been removed from command, she is still practicing medicine at the Naval Medical Center. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
There are plenty of ways to volunteer at the Birch Aquarium, but did you know scuba divers can also lend a hand or a fin? They clean tanks, feed the fish, and teach visitors about our oceans. For Public Matters Everyday Heroes series, Laura McCaffrey dove headfirst into a day in the life of a volunteer diver.
Celeste Perry learned how to scuba in Monterey Bay with her sister. The lessons were a high school graduation gift from her father.
My favorite part about scuba is the sort of peaceful feeling when you go down underwater. It's not quiet, you know, the ocean's actually a pretty loud place, but the sounds just totally wrap around you and you feel like you're in a different world.
Perry started volunteering at Birch Aquarium as an undergraduate at UCSD and continued as a graduate student at Scripps Institution of Oceanography. She now works in marine mammal conservation and is a mom of three, but still finds time to dive in with the fish at Birch.
My favorite have to be the Garibaldis. They're a California state fish. They are super obvious because they're the bright orange fish in the tank, but they also have big personalities.
On some mornings, you can find Perry feeding Garibaldis, a black sea bass, and eels in Birch's giant kelp forest tank.
Feeding is fun, but it takes your full concentration because they're swarming all around you. When I first started doing it, I was nervous, and my mom told me to just pretend that they were little puppies. So in my head, that's what I do. I just pretend they're little puppies, like, oh, you're so cute.
Before the dive, Perry and a second diver listen to Safety Officer Melissa Torres as she explains their tasks for the day. They get ready on a platform at the top of the tank, out of view from aquarium visitors.
keep your eyes out for the scorpion fish that are still on the bottom, those blind California moray eels, and in general, all the fish that are swimming around you. I'm still looking for zip tie fish. Find them. Oh, there's a zip tie right at the bottom where you would be cleaning. Can you pick it up and bring it back? Awesome. You guys have any residual nitrogen I should worry about? You ready for some scuba?
Yes.
All right, please do a buddy check and keep an eye on each other on the bottom.
Back down in the front of the tank, the children scream gleefully when the two divers appear. Perry starts her shift cleaning the front of the tank. Using a sponge, she wipes back and forth. She holds onto a handle with a suction cup to keep herself from floating away from the tank window. After cleaning, Perry swims up to retrieve a bucket of feed for the fish. She opens the lid as she floats back down, and hundreds of pieces of food float out. As predicted, the fish swarm Perry, frantically trying to get a bite. Some animals, like the eels, stick their entire head in the bucket. Others, like the moody sea bass, completely ignore the feeding frenzy.
Bye to the fish.
At the end of her shift, Perry waves goodbye to the visitors on the other side of the tank and floats back to the surface. Perry says she's passionate about volunteering because the aquarium gives people a glimpse of what life is like in our oceans.
And it helps remind people, hey, all this stuff is right here. We should appreciate it, go see it, and do what we can to protect it.
Lara McCaffrey, KPBS News.
And that is it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.